God, and thou art in Christ. And we need to pray for these young people. It's good to see them here interested in the things of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17. Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin." I want you to note verse 18, Abner's appeal. "Now then, do it." I am reading from Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," our Lord Jesus Christ, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And then I would call your attention to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the first part of verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." One rendering has it, "But set apart Jesus as Lord in your hearts." I did not tell the quartet what I would be speaking on tonight. In fact, at the time that I heard about them singing and made my request for them to sing, I did not know that I would be sharing with you these thoughts. And the quartet sang, "Jesus is my King." And this is the thrust of the message that I share with you now. As we look back to 2 Samuel chapter 3, we consider that King Saul was defeated in battle. And Israel, and I'm speaking of the tribes to the north now, Israel was determined to choose her own king by selecting one of Saul's family members, and under leadership of Abner, the majority of the tribes set up Ishbosheth. You will see that in chapter 2 in verse 8. And because of this, there was civil war. You will remember that Saul was the choice of the people, not God's choice. God allowed them to have a king, and so the people chose Saul. From the tribe of Benjamin, not Judah. And when it was time to anoint David, God instructed Samuel to do so, because David was God's choice for king. So here, under the leadership of Abner, Ishbosheth was chosen to be king, and there was civil war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But in process of time and through various circumstances, Abner, commander-in-chief and prime minister, finally decided to acknowledge David as rightful king. And having so resolved, he began to persuade the tribes and argue with them on David's behalf. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we have Abner's communication with the elders of Israel, in which he presents his arguments as to why they should recognize David as king and crown him Lord of all. And so Abner's urgent appeal was for an intelligent response. Look back at 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. And so his urgent appeal was for an intelligent response. Abner wanted the elders to recognize David as their rightful king, and in order for their decision to be an intelligent one, Abner reminds the men of Israel of several relevant facts. David was God's choice. David's kingship was plainly declared. Look at verse 18. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David. So his kingship was plainly declared. David was God's anointed. David was God's king. And all the plans for God's people centered in David. So his kingship was plainly declared. Not only so, but his kingship was richly deserved. Look at verse 18 again. Abner reminds the people that God is going to bring salvation to all of us through this man David. Not only from the Philistines, but from all of our enemies. David's kingship is richly deserved. And not only so, but we see from verse 18 that his kingship was rightly desired. Abner said, you sought in times past for him to be king. Now then, do it. Make him king. So Abner's urgent appeal was for an intelligent response. But now listen, young and older, we're thinking of someone greater than David. We're thinking of David's greater son. We're thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he is God's king. And God appeals to us to make an intelligent response to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, do it. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to persuade us that the one who died upon the cross for the sin of the world, the one who was buried, the one who was raised from the dead, the one who has been exalted to the highest station, is God's king. And God hath crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he appeals to us to have an intelligent response. Do it. Because his lordship and kingship is plainly declared. This ruler is to be born in Bethlehem, Micah said in chapter 5 and verse 2. The government shall be upon his shoulder, said Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 6. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Asked the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's anointed. He is God's king, and that is plainly declared. Not only so, but the lordship and kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ is richly deserved. God the Son took upon him the form of a servant. He was obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. And thank God he is now a living Savior, and all who receive him as Savior and Lord are saved from the condemning power of the law, from the controlling power of sin, and ultimately from the conquering power of death. There is salvation in God's king. And his kingship is plainly declared, richly deserved, and rightly desired. There have been those times in your experience where you wrestled with this issue. You were made to realize that Jesus is to be Lord of my life. He is to be my king. But somehow you've put him off. And now God appeals to you to make him Lord and king of your life. Now then, do it. An intelligent response. Getting back to Abner, Abner's appeal to the men of Israel was for an inclusive response. Not only an intelligent response, but an inclusive response as well. Abner was anxious that every one of the tribes crowned David as king. He did not want to have any division or defection. All must bow the knee to David and make him king. And so his appeal was for an inclusive response. Well, let's think of David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of lords and King of kings. He wants us to make him king and Lord. He wants us to submit to him our persons, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, our possessions, Luke chapter 14, verse 33. That is, we are to realize his divine claim upon us, and whatever we are, whatever we have, should be recognized as belonging to him. Our persons, our possessions, our plans, our pleasures, an inclusive response. Make him Lord. Make him king. Now then, do it, said Abner. And Abner not only appealed to the people to make an intelligent response and an inclusive response, but an immediate response. Now then, do it. You thought about it. Just do it. And this is our appeal to you tonight. And I believe it's God's appeal through this speaker. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. There is coming that day when every knee will bow to him and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And if he is going to be worthy in a coming day to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing, if he's going to be worthy, then he's worthy now. Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he wants you to recognize his lordship, his kingship, and submit to him in every way. Now then, do it. Just do it. We pray that you will do so for his honor and glory. Let's turn to the redemption songbooks. To number one. Number one, let's sing the first and fifth stanzas, please. The first and fifth stanzas of number one. I'm going to ask that you stand. We'll sing these two stanzas. I will close in prayer, at which time I'll give thanks for our food and our time together. And then we will be dismissed. Number one in the redemption songbooks. 1 and 5. Verses 1 and 5.